بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. فما بعد، برادرز اند سسترز، فروم 1979 تو 83 I lived in Guyana in a place called Kukwani, which was and still is. It hasn't moved. I moved. On the bank of the Burbis River, which is part of the Amazonian river system. And where I lived, my house was in the middle of an orange orchard. So one day I woke up in the morning, and when I looked at the trees, one tree directly in front of my house, which was the previous evening, it was a beautiful tree full of great foliage and so on, was bare. There was not a single leaf on that tree, completely gone. I said, what happened to this tree in the night? I mean, what could have happened to this tree in the night? So I went to look, and of course I saw what I suspected, and that was the work of leaf cutting ants. Now, they work in the night, and they cut leaves into small pieces, and then they drop the whole thing on the ground, and they carry them off. And they do that because they are doing what we know as agriculture. They are agricultural ants. They take these pieces of leaf, they take them inside their nest. There are huge chambers inside the nest where they collect these leaves. They clean the leaves. First of all, they cut the leaves and they carry them. In human terms, that is equal to carrying a weight of 600 kilograms in your teeth per ant. They take that into the nest, then they clean the leaves, they chop them up some more, they crush them. And then they form a substrate on which they spread spores of a particular kind of fungus which they grow. That is their crop. That's a very nutritious fungus, and they feed on it as well as they feed their pupa on it, on their young on it. Now, if you have ever seen the inside of an anthill, it's an amazing sight. I mean, there is somebody did an experiment, I think it's Indonesia or somewhere, where they, and I'll send you the links for all that. In that experiment, what they did was they poured concrete into a termite mound, basically the same kind of thing. It took them 3 days to fill that termite mound with concrete. And finally they ended up with pouring about 10 tons of concrete into this termite. Then they left it there to harden for 1 month. And then they excavated the whole thing. And it's a sight to see. It has chambers, it has tunnels between chambers for, what we can call high-speed transportation. There are chambers for waste, there are chambers to grow their crops, which is this fungus. There are chambers where they bring up their young. So, they are like little cells in which the eggs which the queen lays are placed, and then they hatch, and then the larva come out, and then the larva become pupa and so on, and the worker ants, they feed them. And then of course there is the royal chamber where the queen and where the queen stays. It's amazing. I mean, subhanAllah, the Qudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that thing is, if I'm not mistaken, is about 8 or 9 meters down. It's huge. Termite mound. Termite mounds can be as tall as maybe 20, 25 feet tall. So, they can be massive. Now, the reason I'm saying all this is because, again, we can link back to the Quran, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the famous ayat of Surah An-Naml, the surah is named the ant, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Hatta idha atau ala wadin namli, until they came to the valley of the ants, qalat. Now, this is the thing to understand in this ayah. Qalat namlatun ya ayyuhan naml. Now, of course, we know Arabic at least enough to know that qala would mean the person speaking is a male, and qalat means the person speaking is a female. Now, the Quran specifically mentions that the female ant said. Now, why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have to mention the gender of the ant? Because in an ant colony, only the queen gives orders. All ants, all termites are like robots. They are programmed. They do what they are supposed to do, nothing else. The orders, the hukum, the khitab is done only by one, which is the queen. Now, all of this, of course, sounds very nice, but believe me, if that ant colony system came into the world, we would be very miserable in that system, because there is zero freedom for anybody. Anyone steps out of line, the soldier ants chop them into small pieces. As simple as that. So it's an extremely autocratic, one-person ordering system. And unlike all such systems, it is also enormously efficient. The ant colony or the termite colony is the dream of every dictator in the world. Mercifully, Allah did not bring it onto the face of the earth. Many people have tried. They don't always succeed. They succeed for some time, but they always fail, alhamdulillah. But ant colonies are very successful. So, here is the situation. Allah is saying that qalat namlatun ya ayyuhan namlu udkhulu masakinikum masakinakum la yahtimannakum sulaymanu wa junuduhu wa hum la yash'urun. Enter into your homes. Masakin is his homes. Into the holes, into the anthill, so that Sulaiman alayhi salam and his army don't stamp on you, they don't kill you without being aware that they are doing this. So there is the royal chamber. In the royal chamber resides the queen, and the queen does what the queen only can do, which is to breed. Now, this is as far as the leaf-cutting ants are concerned, which are agricultural ants. But the whole process itself, if you think about this and see how Allah created this, there is this one queen, this queen, and the same thing also is in termites, the same thing also is in bees, queen bees, which is that one queen is the one which breeds. No other, there are no females, there is only one. Some males are created. The eggs themselves, the amazing thing is the way it hatches. There are eggs which hatch into soldier ants. There are eggs which hatch into workers. The soldier ant egg does not hatch into a worker. And it's not as if after hatching, this ant decides, Ibrahim ant decides, I want to be a soldier. No? Or Hyderabad decides that I want to be a worker. No, there's no decision involved. If you hatch as a worker, you are a worker, and you live as a worker, and you die a worker. Khalas. There's no career choice. No, total, completely. You're born into that, and that's it. You have to stay with that forever, all throughout. So, the soldier ants are bigger in size also. And then they have stronger mandibles, and they have the whole temperament of soldiers, and their job is to protect the anthill. The workers work. There are only a few males which are created or which hatch, and then they go away. Usually, the male from the same colony will not breed with the queen of the same colony. So, it male comes from outside. Now, that's another amazing thing. The queen releases, when the queen is ready to breed, the queen releases some chemicals like hormones. Only a few molecules of that is enough to alert males in the area. So males come. They are attracted by, and this is like a, it's like, it's an un, un, you know, irresistible force that the male has to come. The male will come. Those males which are ready to breed are also big. They are about the same size as the queen, slightly smaller, but about the same size. So when they come, they get attacked by the soldier ants, to which they respond by releasing their own chemicals and their own hormones. Now, that's a test. If the male is able to overcome the soldiers, overcome means there's no fight and you're not killing them, but with these hormones, if he's able to show his strength, then they allow him into the nest. Otherwise, he becomes food. They'll kill him and they'll eat him. Now, when they come into the nest, I mean, ajeeb, the khudrat of Allah, the male flies there, so the male has wings. The female has no wings. So, when the male comes, he has wings, and because of the wings, he can't enter the hole, it's too small. So, the soldier ants, they chop his wings off. And then they take the wings away to eat. Everything is food. Then the male comes, the male enters, and all going well, whatever well means, the male will mate with the female and then he dies. That's it. Short lifespan, but highly productive, because as a result of that breeding, he will produce, or his genes will produce, millions of babies. Now, this is the system of ants. And this is only one, I'm talking to you about some general facts about ants, which are true for all the ants. And then, of course, I just spoke to you about leaf-cutting ants. There are, Allah only knows how many species of ants. There are literally thousands of species of insects which have been named, and Allah knows how many are still unnamed, undiscovered. There are soldier ants, for example. That's the last thing in the world you want to find. If you get surrounded or in a colony of soldier ants, you can kiss your life goodbye. I mean, they're as dangerous as that. And literally, it's not nice to be eaten alive by ants. That's what they do. They literally sort of, you know, kill you. one gram at a time. Huh? That is not a nice way to die. So, the issue of all this is to see the khudrat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The purpose of all of these fajr reminders is for us to recognize the khudrat of our Rabb Jalla Jalalu. And I'm deliberately, we will come to the nice big creatures in time, inshallah. But we are deliberately staying with the small ones and the so-called creepy crawlies to show that there's nothing nasty or bad. One thing which I have discovered, wallahi, is that there is nothing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created in this world which is useless. There is absolutely nothing which is useless. Every single thing has a purpose. Every single thing is fulfilling its purpose. Every single thing was created for a reason. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said this, رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا Subhanaka faqina azab an-nar. O my Rabb, you have not created anything in vain. Ma khalaqta hadha batil. You have not created this in vain. It's not just like something, okay, this is I don't know what to do with this. I don't know what to do with it. Allah knows what to do with it. Allah did with it. And what He did is perfect. Every single thing. What He did is absolutely perfect. It's not a question of, you know, I like the look of it, I don't know. It's nothing to do with our likes and dislikes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created that thing, and He created it for a purpose, and that thing is fulfilling its purpose. And that is where we recognize the glory and magnificence of our Rabb Jalla Jalal. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyil kareem wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in bi rahmatika ya rahmal rahim.